1 Samuel chapter 17. Beginning at verse 44. And the Philistines said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth." And here's what I want you to notice tonight: that all of the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, your care, your protection, your provision. Lord, as I stand before this congregation tonight, I need your help. Oh, Lord God, would you anoint us with the Holy Ghost? Open our hearts to your word tonight, and Father, we'll thank you for it in the precious name of the blessed Son of God. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Now, tonight, what I want to talk to you about in the last part of verse 46, David said that all of the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Now, what I want to talk about is that the world might know. That the world might know. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. See, whenever Elijah was having a contest on Mount Carmel with Baal's prophets, when it came time for Elijah to pray, he cried out to God, "Oh God, answer by fire. Let the fire fall." And he said, "That this people may know, that this people may know that there's a God in Israel." Well, people need to know about God. Amen. And it's our responsibility as Christians to tell them. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In Mark 16:5, "Go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Whenever Jesus brought deliverance to the man of Gadara, this after his deliverance, this man said to Jesus, "I want to follow you wherever you go." And you know what Jesus told him? He said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you." We need to go and we need to tell. You know, in all reality, the reason that Broadway Assembly has been here for all of these many years in the city of Lorain, Ohio, the real reason that this church has been here is that the world might know. Amen. And you know the reason that Pastor Matt Jones is here in Lorain, Ohio, at Broadway Assembly. Number one is that the world might know. And the reason that really, the number one reason that Brother and Sister Cruz is here in this church working as youth pastors, that the world might know. See, everything that we do in church work, the number one thing is that the world might know, to get somebody saved. Whether it's a youth get-together or men's get-together or whatever we do, is that the world might know. And the reason that buses run in this city and bring children here to Broadway Assembly, that the world might know. In every Sunday school class that's taught, that the world might know. Amen. So it's so important for all of us to be a witness for the Lord. In Hamilton, Ohio, where I live for 14 years, of course, that's where Sister Cole and I met. She came to Hamilton, Ohio. Of course, I lived and worked there at the time. And she came there and preached revival at the Westside Pentecostal Church. And I went over to the revival. I wanted to see what kind of revival they were having. And I heard this young evangelist. And when I went in and heard her sing and preach, and I met her that night, and it just happened that the people she is staying with, they just happened to invite me over to their house for a snack. I thought that was nice, you know, really. But anyway, I went over and we had our snack, and then the couple went to bed, and we talked for a long time. But I left their house, and I drove over the hill, and I said to myself, that's going to be my wife. But you know, there was a little problem there. She didn't like me. But anyway, but what do you do? I just kept going back and going back. Wherever she was preaching, I would show up. But anyway, we started dating, and 13 months from the time we met, we got married. And God's been so good. But here, I didn't mean to get into all of that, but it's okay anyway. But here, even after being married for 50 years, I still like being married. Isn't that wonderful? Well, it is, really. And I still like to hold her hand. When we drive down the road, I'll reach over and get her hand. There's times she'll reach and get my hand and hold my hand. I like that. I get a charge out of that. I mean, I do. But anyway, here's what I want to say. While I lived in Hamilton, Ohio, there was a man got saved. And the reason he got saved in Hamilton, Ohio, especially there on High Street or Main Street, the train, you'd get caught by train there a lot. It's terrible. Of course, they finally build a road underneath the railroad. And it's not so bad there now. But anyway, you get caught by train there a lot. But anyway, this man, he was an alcoholic, Mr. Heimer. Him and his grandson about 6 years old, and the train caught them. And this little boy, while he was sitting there, he looked up at his grandpa and said, Papa, why don't you love Jesus? And he said, why don't you go to church with us? Papa, you need to get saved. That's all he said. But you know, that so touched the heart of that grandpa that Mr. Hymer came to church and he got saved just because of what the little boy said. You know, there was a husband and a wife and their little daughter. The wife and the little daughter was Christians and went to church all the time. The dad didn't go. But every Sunday, this little girl, she would invite her dad. Dad, go with us. Go with us to church. Often, the man's wife would invite him to go. Well, finally, he decided, well, I'm just going to go to get them off of my back. And you know what? He got up on this Sunday morning, and he got ready, and he told them, he said, I'm going with you to church today. And they were so happy. And whenever they got to church, and they walked in the back door, and when they got inside, this man, he felt someone pushing on his back. And he looked around, and it was his little daughter pushing on his back. And she said, there he is, Jesus, save him. And you know what? Jesus did save him. Jesus did save him. Amen. That the world might know, that the world might know. We was preaching revival several years ago there in Hamilton, Ohio. And Sister Cole and I, in this revival, there were several people saved in that meeting. But anyway, there was this couple, and they had two children, a son and a daughter. The mother and the daughter was saved, but the little boy wasn't saved. Of course, the dad wasn't saved. But anyway, this little boy, they gathered around to have dinner, and the mom asked the little boy, son, we want you to pray. And this little boy said, I'm not going to pray. I don't want to pray. My dad don't pray, and I'm not going to pray either. You know, that so touched Russell Wiggins' heart that he came to that revival. He came to that revival that happened during the revival. He came to revival, and Russell Wiggins got saved. Amen. Why? Because his son said, Dad, or to his mom, I don't want to pray. I want to be like Dad. He don't pray, and I'm not going to pray. Well, anyway, this world needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. Praise God. The Bible teaches us, though, in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. You know, I like Matthew. Jesus said to the publican, the tax collector, Matthew, follow me. And he followed Jesus. And I'll tell you what, Matthew is my kind of man. Yeah, he made a great feast. And he invited all of his sinner friends. He invited friends to come to the feast, and he invited Jesus. While Jesus was in there eating with all of those publicans and sinners, the scribes and the Pharisees, they was looking in the windows or through the door, and they were very critical of Jesus. But you know what Jesus said to them? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners under repentance. Yes, Jesus came in this world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, a brother in my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. You know, it's a marvelous thing for people to be saved and and go to heaven when this life is over. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors they are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labors unto his harvest. John 4, 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already at the harvest. See, the greatest thing that can ever happen in any service is somebody to get saved. Did you know, and especially while I pastored, of course I pastored for 30 years there in Louisville, Kentucky, I won a lot of people to God just before they died. You might say, Brother Cole, do you believe in deathbed repentance? I sure do. Yes, because I've seen people get saved just before they left this world. I do not recommend it at all. Could I say it again? I do not recommend people waiting until they get on their deathbed. You need to get right with God and live for Him now. Amen. But I know that God does save people on their deathbed. Or just before they die. You know, I believe this in my whole heart. There's people who die in automobile accidents. And just before they die, they cry out to God for mercy. And God saves them. I believe there's people who die in plane crashes. And on the way down, they cry out to God. And God saves them. Amen. But one of the thieves that was on the cross with Jesus, this was all he said to Jesus. He said, "Now, Lord, remember me whenever you come into your kingdom." That's all he said. "Remember me whenever you come into your kingdom." And you know what Jesus said to him? "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Whenever the publican and the Pharisee went in the temple to pray, the publican, the sinner, he wasn't even as much as lift up his head. And this was all he said. He smote his hands on his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He went away justified rather than the other. You know, often in our meetings, I have people to tell me, when I ask them, "Are you a Christian or would you like to be a Christian?" I have them to tell me, "I've been so bad, I've done so much that's wrong, that I don't believe I can be saved." And you know what I tell them? People like you is who the Lord died for. I tell them, Apostle Paul said that he was chief among the sinners. And God saved him. I'll tell you what. It's not what we've done or what we've not done. That's not got anything to do with it. We just come as we are and we confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them. He said, "If you will come, I will in no wise cast you out." In Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. See, all we have to do is just come and confess our sins. He said, "If you'll confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive them." Amen. So it's not being so bad. Amen. I remember being in a service and there was a lady in this church. It's a quite large church. She was way back to my right. We had had a good service and altar call, and that lady was weeping and crying. And there was only five or six people left in the church. And I walked back to her and shook hands with her. And, of course, the lady that was with her, she was a Christian. And I asked her, I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "No." I said, "Would you like to be a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I would." But she said, I can't. She said, I've done so much that's wrong, and my life is a mess. She said, whenever I was a little girl, I was 9 years old, and I used to come and hear you and Sister Cole sing and preach. And she said, I got saved and lived for God for years, but have drifted away from God. And I've been away from God for years. And I've done everything in the book, and my life is a mess. I told her, I said, people like you is who the Lord died for. That woman got up out of her seat and she came to an altar. And God restored the joy of her salvation. Hallelujah. She got gloriously saved, and she is back that night testifying and worshiping the Lord. But we just come as we are. See, Sister Cole mentioned about me and my life. I didn't grow up in the idea home. I know the right way for kids to come up is for mom and dad to go to church and take their children to the house of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? It really is. But see, there's possibly kids or young people or whoever. You didn't grow up in the idea home, but it really doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're on. Listen, if you'll come to God, God will transform your life and you can live a wonderful life for God. Amen. Praise God. You know, while I pastored there in Louisville, Kentucky, where the church was on South Park Road. And you come down, of course, Brother Smith, he knows where this is at. You come down Miner's Lane there, and it dead ends the South Park, and you turn right, and the church is a couple of hundred yards down there on the left. Well, right there at that stop sign, where you turn right, across the street there was a Locust Grove Inn, this club, this nightclub. And I didn't like it being there. I prayed many times for it to close. I really did. But, the board and I had a meeting, and we needed to put a church sign up out there at the corner so it would point people the direction of the church. But to put a church sign up there, it had to be on the nightclub property. Well, anyway, I told them, I said, well, I'll go ask this owner about putting up a sign out there on his property. Well, anyway, one day I was passing by, and I saw the owner out in the parking lot. He is picking up some paper and cleaning up some, and anyway, I just wheeled in there. And it was kind of strange, me pulling in the parking lot of a nightclub. But I normally don't do that, you know. But I wheeled in there, and I got out of the car, and I walked over to this gentleman, and I reached out my hand, shook hands with him, introduced myself. And, of course, he told me who he was. And after I chatted with him just a minute or so, I said, well, sir, really the reason that I'm here, I said, we need to put a church sign up here on the corner pointing people out to the church. And I said, we need to put it on your property. And the reason I'm here is to get permission to put it up. And he looked at me. And he turned around two or three times like that. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, he called me Reverend. He said, now, Reverend, you know that we're on different sides of the track. I said, yeah, I know we are. And he said, now, you've probably preached against me in my place here, haven't you? I had. And I said, yes, sir, I have. But then I began to witness to him. I began to witness to him. I told him, I said, sir, there was a time in my life when I was young that I helped my dad make moonshine liquor and sell it to make people drunk. And I'm not proud of that. There's probably young people maybe here tonight. You're here and your mom and dad are not Christians. Or maybe your mom's a Christian and your dad are not. Or so. Lots of times you have young people in church that mom and dad are unsaved. Thank God for you. Thank God you're here. Don't give up. Keep hanging in there. Amen. But you know, I told him, I said, there was a time in my life that I helped my dad. I said, my dad used to make moonshine liquor and sell it to make people drunk. And I said, I helped him, and I'm not proud of that. And I said, I told him, I said, well, I got saved. And then later on, my dad got saved. We quit all of that. We don't do that anymore. God changed me. And I said, God's called me to preach. And I've preached the gospel for years and have seen many people get saved. And he looked at me. And anyway, he just stared at me. And then he had one of those spells of turning around and around again. And he looked at me and he said, now, I don't know why I'm going to do this. But he said, Reverend, you go ahead and put up that church sign down there on the corner. I shook hands with that man. I said, thank you, sir. But you know, whenever I started walking toward my car, he turned around. He said, hey, Reverend. Would you give me the recipe to that stuff that you all made? I said, no, sir. No, sir, I will not. I will not. Well, anyway, praise God. Well, hallelujah. Listen, I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what you used to be. It doesn't matter. God can transform. You just come to Him and confess your sins and He'll take them away. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a great God. What a great God we have that loves us. It doesn't matter what we've done or what we've not done. That's not got anything to do with it. We just come as we are. And we confess our sins and He forgives. But here, see, Sister Cole and I, we grew up different. See, her mom and dad, Christians, and went to church all the time. My mother was a Christian, but she didn't get where we live. You wouldn't believe where we lived in the country. As a matter of fact, Sister Cole's told me many times, I thought that I was a country girl until I married you. Well, anyway, but we really live back in the country. See, I don't know whether you have picked up on this or not, but really, my wife, I don't know no other way to put it. My wife is a classy lady. She really is. I mean, her mom, you know, taught school for 39 years. And mom caught, you know, when you go to their house, you sit down to a meal, they had nice tablecloth and beautiful dishes and just these classy people, if you know what I mean. Well, my family wasn't like that. I mean, we made moonshine liquor and stuff like that, you know. But anyway, God brought us together. Glory to God. And here
We've shared the gospel all around the world, praise God, to many, many people, and we've seen many, many people saved. See, it's not what we used to be, it's what we are now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And listen, wherever we are, God can use us. And why does God use us? That the world might know. That the world might know. Amen. Well, I remember in Louisville, Kentucky, while I pastored, I was getting ready to go in this hospital, and there was a doctor and a gentleman talking there on the outside of the hospital, and there was benches there, is close to us, close to the sidewalk or the street. And anyway, this man was talking to this doctor, and he was asking this doctor about where some alcoholic center was. And I could tell he needed help bad. He really did. I mean, he was under the influence of alcohol. But anyway, this doctor stopped me and asked me, did I know where such and such alcoholic center was? And I didn't. I'd never heard of the place. Well, anyway, the doctor went on in the hospital, and I was getting ready to go in, and this man turned around, and he said, I've got to have some help. I turned around to him, and I said, sir, I know who can help you. He said, who? I said, Jesus. I said, you need to get saved, and God will transform your life, and you won't have a desire for alcohol. Amen. And you know, that man, tears started rolling down his cheeks, and he fell on his knees at one of those benches. And he turned around and looked up at me, and he said, preacher, you're not ashamed to pray with me, are you? Brother, I got down on my knees right beside him, right there on that, right at that sidewalk, and I prayed that man through, and he got saved. He had been on a big drunk for almost a week and hadn't even been home. He had a wife and three children, but he, praise God, a smile on his face. He said, I'm going home. I'm going back to my wife and to my children. I'll tell you what, friend, this world needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. This world needs to know. Praise God. We need to tell this world who Jesus is. And you know the thing about it, everybody can do it. You know, I've heard people say, well, I can't talk. Oh, yes, you can. When you get mad, you can really talk. Yeah, everybody can do it. Amen. So I'm not such a, or I don't think so, such an outgoing person. But anyway, when it comes to witnessing, I can do it. Amen. And this world needs to know there are so many people that don't know. And you know, most of the people that we won to God in Louisville, Kentucky, it was because we went out and invited them. See, every child of God in their church, they need to invite somebody every week to their church. That's so important. And you know the thing about it, everybody can do it. Amen. That the world might know. Amen. And you know, in all reality, one of the great reasons that I love Broadway Assembly. And Brother Matt, it's such a blessing to come to be here. And I wish I could have said more. I was limited for time this morning and so on. But, you know, honoring this man of God, that's a thing to do. And I thank God for that. But the greatest thing that we can do is to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get people saved and ready for heaven. That's what it's all about anyway. Amen. Glory to God. So we need to tell this world about Jesus. And everybody can do it. And it's our responsibility as Christians. Amen. You know, even in our travels, Sister Cole and I, we witness to people. Amen. I don't know whether you have a tract ministry. Possibly you do in this church. I thank God for that. A preacher, I preached his homecoming Sunday before last. Pastors in Latonia, Kentucky. Lee Stanton. You know how Lee Stanton got saved? He went to a men's restroom and somebody had left a tract in there. And he just picked it up and read it. And it so touched his heart, he went to church the next Sunday and got saved. Why? Because somebody left a tract. Thank God for those people and their evangelism work. Amen. Praise God. So, but you know what? We think everybody knows, but they don't. This world needs to know. Most of the people we brought to our church, it was because they was invited. But one man in his family, his name was Lloyd Bright. Lloyd, him and his wife was out taking a Sunday evening drive. And he drove down the road and he passed by our church. And he looked over his wife and said, right there is where we're supposed to go to church. And they wasn't even saved. You know what? The very next Sunday, you know what happened? Lloyd came. He didn't know nothing. He really didn't. But you know what? The first Sunday they came, Lloyd and his wife came to the altar and got saved. Got gloriously saved. And Lloyd, he, like I said, he didn't know nothing. You know, but the next day on Monday evening, we was having a working at the church. It was cleaning off the parking lot. And the men was bringing their blowers and the brooms. And we had an acre of paved parking. And anyway, we was going to do it ourselves. Anyway, I was a little bit late getting to the Monday working, but I'd announced it on Sunday night. But when I got there, I drove up on the parking lot and I saw someone pushing a broom. He had on shorts and he was smoking a pipe and the smoke was just boiling. You know who it was? It was Lloyd. Did Lloyd get saved the day before? Yes, he did. Amen. You know what? I just went over to Lloyd, put my arm around him, began to talk to him. I tell you what, he was one of those that he was willing to do anything. Amen. And you know, Lloyd, he was such an enthusiastic man. And he began to grow in God and grow in God. And then finally, he after he was there for a while, he said, Brother Cole, I noticed you got a van out there. I said, what are you doing in that van? I said, well, and we had the whole 30 years that I was there, we ran anywhere from 5 to 7 church buses every Sunday. But anyway, he said, that van, we just use it as a backup in case a bus breaks down or whatever. He said, I would like to start a senior citizens ministry. He said, my grandma, she needs a way to church. She's a Christian, don't have a way to church. And he said, I'd like to pick her up and get some others. Did you know? I said, well, oh yes, Lloyd, you can do that. And he started running that van, senior citizens van. And you know, it wasn't many weeks until he had that van full of senior citizens every Sunday morning. Such an enthusiastic worker. And you know, he worked at that a while. And then he came to me and said, "Brother Cole," he said, "I've got the van full." He said, "I want one of the buses, and I want to be a bus captain. I want to go get kids." And he said, "If we could get someone to drive the van and take care of that, could I have a bus?" I said, "Oh, yes, you can. We got someone to take care of the senior citizen van." And Lloyd got a bus. On a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we always had a bus workers meeting, and how devotion, but we'd always set goals. That was whenever our daughter Darla was home, and she was a bus captain. And Darla, most of the time, she had more than any of the others on her bus. But we'd have them to set goals on their bus. But you know, Lloyd never would set a goal. He'd always say, "I just want to have more than Darla. I just want to have more than Darla." But and you know, he did. And you know, sure enough, one Sunday he had more than Darla, and he had the biggest time you ever seen. But you know, but here, Lloyd, and I'm going to close pretty soon. But here, Lloyd didn't know nothing. You know, a lot of times we assume that everybody knows. They really don't. A lot of times, and you see that, I'm sure you see that here, Brother Jones, there's people who come to an altar. They don't know how to pray. They don't know nothing. It's our responsibility as Christians to teach them. Isn't that right? Amen. But Lloyd had a family that had been missing. The children had been missing. He told me, he said, "Brother Cole, I want you to go with me. This family's, the children's not been coming. I want you to go with me and see if we can get those kids back." Well, I told him, I said, "Well, I'll meet you at the church Thursday night." And I met Lloyd at church. We got in the car and drove over to this house. And we got out. And I walked up at the door. And you know, it's exciting to do visitation. Whenever you go up the door and knock on the door, you don't know what's behind that door. You that do it, you know how it is. Amen. Which way is Sister McMillan? Where is she at? That way? Hey, Sister McMillan. I'm a pushing for it. And praise God. Thank God for that blessed lady. God only knows how many people that she's brought to this church and how many souls that's already in heaven because of her. Anyway, glory to God. Whew, I know she couldn't hear me, but I felt good saying it anyway. Anyway, I loved her. And when I come here, I make it my point to talk to her. I just like to talk to somebody who does it. And been doing it a long time. Amen. Praise God. But anyway, here. Lloyd and I got out, and we walked up this door, and I knocked on the door, and when this door opened, boy, I tell you what, there was a woolly, you ever see a woolly booger? I mean, he was a woolly booger. But the thing about it, he was holding a pit bulldog by its collar, and that dog was on its hind legs, and there was fire in that dog's eyes. I mean, it was scary. Honest, it was. And, you know, anyway, I mentioned to him about his kids coming, the kids coming back on the bus. And he said, "They're not coming anymore." He was so rude to me, and he just slammed the door. You ever have a door slammed in your face? It's not a good feeling. I've had beer cans. I've had men to throw beer cans under my feet on visitation. What'd you do? You go back home? No, I kept going. You know the reason why? I want this world to know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, anyway, Lloyd and I, we know nothing else to do but go back to the car, you know. I didn't want to knock anymore or try to have any more conversation with that guy. But anyway, we start toward the car. And when we start toward the car, I just happened to glance back toward the house, and I thank God because it did. That man had let that pit bulldog out of the back door, and that dog was coming around the side of the house, and it was headed right toward us. I made it okay, but Lloyd, he didn't. He almost didn't make it. I mean, he made it, barely made it in that car before that dog got to him. And you know what? It made Lloyd mad. He said, I'm a-going in there, and I'm going to get that guy. I said, now, Lloyd, we're Christians. We can't do that. He said, oh, Brother Cole, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I know I can't. But anyway, there's all kind of thoughts going through my mind. Lord God, help us. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, the work of God is exciting. It is. Glory to God. If you don't think it's exciting, get out and go down the street knocking on doors, inviting people to your church. Amen. You'll run into all kinds of people, but yet you'll find people that's hungry for God. They're tired of sin. They're tired of drugs. They're tired of alcohol. They're tired of carousing around. They are. Amen. Sister Cole, come. Amen. That the world might know. Amen. Many times, we bring people to the house of God and they really don't know. It's our responsibility as Christians to tell them. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to have our sins washed away by the precious blood of Jesus? And on the road to heaven? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How about it tonight? How is it over at your house? You know, many times, there's a wife. More often, there's a wife that's saved and a husband not saved. They have to go to church alone. I thank God for you. Keep coming to church and keep praying for your husband. You know, we had a man in our church. His name was Jim Fordyce. And Jim's wife, Carol. She was a good lady, but she didn't care about spiritual things. Jim and his baby daughter came to church for 14 years. Alone. Occasionally Carol would come. And we was in revival at our church. Or a few months before that, Jim, he testified this after God baptized him in the Spirit. He said, I just got tired of being where I was. And he got in and God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was on fire for God. Anyway, we started a revival with our daughter and son-in-law, Anthony and Darla. And we went for a week. I scheduled this revival Sunday through Sunday. And we had a good revival. There were some people got saved. But on Sunday, the revival was supposed to close. Over here on this side, there was double doors in our church. And there's a ramp. You come up and Sister Cole and I was coming up the ramp and getting ready to come in the church. And on a Sunday, the revival was supposed to close that night. And she looked at me. And of course, Sister Cole had fasted all day that day. And she looked at me and said, "Bruce, what are we going to do about this revival? Are we going to go on, or what are we going to do?" And I don't know why I said what I said. I said, "Well, if Debbie Bowling, and that's one of the ladies in the church, had been saved for some time, and she had never received the baptism, I said, if Debbie Bowling get the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, and if Carol Ford, I said, get saved, I said, we'll go on this revival." I didn't even know Carol would even be there. I really didn't. But you know, glory to God, we started that service and we just walked in. That's all I said. I said, if Carol gets saved, Debbie Bowling get the Holy Ghost. Well, anyway, we went into church and started the service. 6 o'clock, choir got to sing and the power of God fell in that place. People went to shouting and praising God. And the Spirit of God settled over that place. People went to run into the altar. And I looked back and I saw Debbie Bowling coming. And she came and God baptized her with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I look back, and what do you know? Carol Fordyce was there. I didn't even know she'd even be there. But she was there. But you know, the Spirit of God kept moving. And you know, Carol got up out of her seat and came to the altar and got saved. Amen. After Jim and his baby daughter came to church for 14 years. She got gloriously saved. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? I got over close to Sister Cole over at the piano. And I said, we'll go on revival. And we did, praise God. And I mean, that service that night started at 6 o'clock. It wasn't over until 11 o'clock that night. There were several more people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. We went on to that revival, and there were scores of people saved. I want you to know God's still moving. Everyone stand. Everyone stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Yes.
I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He's the King of